and football. Nice. That's what Maryland does.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Are you a big man? Pop, I'm talking to you.
What?
You wake up in the morning, you start putting on my big boy pants. Put a little jacket, you go. You take your lunch because you got big boy pants on.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
I can say big loud things. I can be demonstrative. This is how you conduct yourself in a democracy.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
We want to look to the future. We've got to tear down the past. Babe Ruth was nothing more than a fat old man with little girl legs.
The Fan. I want it
all. Hey, let's do this. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your Wednesdays are off to a good start. I would like to play a drop here, but I can't. It says my radio server is not available.
Oh, mine too.
So I can't. Here, how about... There we go. There's a fart sound for you. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Hey, thank you. Hey, it's back.
It's so far a masterpiece, if I do say so myself.
We're back, baby. We're back.
Right in the butt?
Yep. So the end of that last one felt. Here is where we're going to start the final hour, and that is with breaking news in the NBA world. This just came out right as we were bringing Josh Pate on the phone.
I had to do a double, triple take to make sure I wasn't getting butt cracked sports.
You did. Woj dropped a Woj bomb on Woj. It's a Woj bomb.
Yeah.
He has announced that he is retiring from ESPN and the news industry. He said, I grew up the son of a factory worker. I love he's like a politician. It sounds like a presidential debate answer. How are you going to fix the economy? Well, I'm a middle class kid, right? I grew up the son of a factory worker 2 miles from ESPN's campus. Only ever dreamed of making a living as a sports writer. 37 years ago, the Hartford Current gave me my first byline, and I never stopped chasing the thrill of it all. This craft transformed my life. I've decided, though, to retire from ESPN and the news industry. He is leaving ESPN. He said the past 7 years ESPN have been great. Appreciate the company's leadership, blah, 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 for the understanding, acceptance of my decision. I appreciate their acceptance of my decision. After all these years reporting on everyone's teams, I'm headed back to my own. He is going to be the general manager. Is that the phrase? Is that what we're calling him in college?
No, it's what it's called.
Yes.
He's going to be the general manager of St. Bonaventure's men's basketball.
The Bonnies.
The Fighting Bonnies, which is his alma mater. He is retiring from the news industry.
You know, part of, and it's a small part because there's actual, you know, game stuff that matters here. Part of what made Michael Jordan the GOAT, when he came out of retirement, what did he say in the facts? I'm back. Hey, thank you for your news breaking. Just say I'm retiring. I don't need to read 9 paragraphs.
You don't need the spiel from Woj. You don't want his background and his lifetime.
I did what everybody else did. I scrolled through that long-ass essay, and I looked for the part that said retiring from ESPN, and I moved along with my day.
Thanks for all of this.
No disrespect. Life's too short. I don't care. Like, you were great. You made a lot of money. I thought he was pulling a Dirt, duping the company into giving him a lot of money, and then running the length of the contract down, saying, I just got a lot of money. I'm done.
I'm not doing this anymore.
But look, he kind of is doing it. I know he's probably going to work as hard as he, quote unquote, can.
His work-life balance will be much better.
The general manager of St. Bonaventure's men's basketball. What are the expectations there? Like, this dude's going to have a cush job that gives him a courtside seat to every home game with no real pressure. And anytime somebody says something, oh, let me text somebody, and he'll shoot a text to an NBA GM and get, like, I don't know, Brad Stevens to show up for a home game just to make them think that they're special. What a cush life this man is going to go live. And, you know, I will say deservingly so, that life, he makes a lot of money, and it's easy to say, well, I'd do that for that money. Well, you'd go on vacation and constantly be bothered by your phone.
Never put it down.
You never get a holiday. You never really get a break, even in the off season. So, certainly has earned it, and he's going to go live the best life being a general manager of a low-level college basketball
just
team.
People are saying that our YouTube audio, we sound like the Chipmunks right now. Awesome. So I don't know. Somebody said, why does Dirt sound like Mickey Mouse? So I don't know. What's
the phone issue? Our issue? Or is that Pate's issue today?
I think it's... in the last 13 years, St. Bonaventure's been to the NCAA tournament 3 times. Yeah. So not high expectations to your larger point. I have always argued this. One of my biggest sticking points of members of the media is people
get
who,
over yourself.
Yes, one. One, I think that leads into my larger point, and that is that some people stick around way too long. They don't know when it's time to exit. It's like the athlete problem. It's Jerry Rice in a Seahawks uniform. Like, dude.
Never happened.
Give it up.
It never happened.
It's over. You're not. It's done. You got to. There's another life after football. You got to find it. It's not happening again, man. I now want to hear that in my chipmunk voice.
I'm just hearing a chipmunk thing.
And then I said, I think Jerry Rice should retire. That was a little more.
You got a little Mickey there.
That was a little Mickey right there. A little too much Mickey. Yeah. But there are people in the media who just have such a hard time stepping away. And Woj isn't even that old, so he's not even a great example of this. But, like, we have somebody in this market who's like, why are you still doing media, man? What are we holding on to? How many years do you have left? Go enjoy your life. Why are you still chasing this rat race?
Hey, man.
It doesn't make any sense.
You love the grind. You love the grind.
Yeah. No, they just love the attention, and they love the spotlight, and they love the cameras, and they think that that's, you know, self-importance and all that. Dude, if Woj made bank from ESPN for basically the last 7 years.
I think he made $45 million on his last contract.
Pretty damn good right there.
He's not leaving early.
And I'm sure that he was making pretty solid money at Yahoo, too. He is not struggling in any way, shape, or form financially. You can like, you're done. Go do this on the side. It's going to be a seasonal gig. You're bringing in some NIL deals with random two-star recruits at St. Bonaventure's. You have off seasons. You have work-life balance. You're going to see, I'm assuming he has a family. You're going to actually see them from time to time. I just, whenever I see somebody do this, they get the bag and then they say, okay, I'm going to go do what I want to do for the rest of my life and enjoy my actual life, my work-life balance. I will never forget the Woj story that will always stick out to me. Ben Golliver is one of our best friends. He's an incredible NBA writer, and we love chatting with him every time we get the chance. Him telling us the story once of sitting next to Woj at a draft, and Woj is just breaking, just constantly. One phone, two phones, three phones, breaking news, breaking news, breaking news, to the point where his phone legitimately started to, like, steam and smoke and overheat because he was using it so much, and he just dropped it into a trash can next to him, grabbed the next phone, and continued to report and break news like he didn't miss a beat.
Yeah, he grabbed the chip out of the phone, just threw it in the can, and then put it in a new phone and instantly turned it on and got back into the text mode. You know, it's a good day for him to celebrate, take some time off a little bit here, recharge the batteries, and then go watch. This is a dream job. Like, that dude's rich as hell. Money doesn't matter.
Dude, if you made $50 million and I gave you a cool gig, like, back at Oregon State as, like, a promotional or a GM or a whatever, like, it'd be fun to do back at your alma mater.
Just give me, like, hey, be positive influence at practice yes. basketball guy.
Hey, like, good catch. Good catch. Way to go, guys.
Timmy, nice layup, man.
Can I get the Matthew McConaughey gig back at Oregon, just standing on the sideline? Can I do that? Go Ducks. That's all you got to do.
That would be great.
Do a national interview, carry a flag. Ah, oh, man, dude.
You see him and Woodson?
I did when they were there
at the 50 with their flags. Like, how is that? McConaughey way more popular and famous than Charles Woodson, but McConaughey enough of a sports fan to know how badass is this man?
This is awesome, man.
Charles Woodson.
This is so cool.
Like, that in itself is the dream.
Well, we got a Woj bomb on Woj.
Well, I think the next thing you wait for now is Shams is definitely going to get hired by ESPN.
Yeah, who are our power brokers now in the NBA? Shams has to be number one. Who's number two? Is it Chris Haynes number two?
I think our old boy Chris Haynes might be number two.
Number two?
And then number three is just really, Zach Lowe doesn't break news, but what he likes to do is drop little nuggies. He likes to, like, skirt around the news breaking by being in like, plugged in, but not being the source of everything.
Yes.
It's a weird thing he does.
Got some NBA media members bouncing around, man. Going to different companies. Whoa, you're getting out of the industry. Big news in the NBA world today. We now have people who are seeking out the YouTube feed just to hear us talk like Alvin.
Are we still sounding like chipmunks?
I believe that we are. Yeah, I believe that we are.
What if we talk like this now?
What if we go in a really low voice? A sure bit of fat letter.
You know who that sounded just like.
Who did I do?
Who was that? That voice, it sounded like...
You like that?
Oh, my God, that's going to bother me.
Was that like
me.
The alien in Men in Black, kind of? The guy who's in the human body, but not in a human body?
No, I'll have to think about it. That sounded exactly like a character.
Well, I already have a high-pitched nasally voice, so I'm sure it sounds even better as Mickey Mouse and Alvin and the Chipmunk. I want to stick in your sport. Can I stick in your sport?
Sure.
And ask, why are they so bad at this? Who do we fire? Who needs to be fired? That's my question. Next on The Fan. Yeah, Butthurt Alvin doesn't quite have the same ring to it as Butthurt Dirt. Not quite the same. I am a big Alvin and the Chipmunks guy, though. I'll pop them on in around holiday season.
Alvin!
Never saw the movies, though. But back in the day, I used to have the cassette tapes, Alvin and the Chipmunks, when I was a kid.
You used to watch the cartoon.
Yeah, the cartoons.
Religiously at daycare. Yeah.
I was a big Alvin. And were you an Alvin?
Do you know his brother's names?
You
shut it. I know you.
Simon? No.
Yes.
Simon? Yes.
Shut up! Yes. He wasn't even certain there.
Theodore.
Yes.
Yeah, hey, look
at that.
You
look like Theodore.
I know. I have a son named Theodore. He's named after a chipmunk.
Touché. Take a ball game.
Ah, come on,
which
man.
Which one had the glasses? Is that Simon?
He was the nerd.
I guess I'd be Simon.
Yeah, you'd be Simon. I'd be Alvin.
Yeah.
I'll be Theodore. Cool.
All right.
Why is your sport so bad at this?
What are you talking about?
And who needs to be fired?
Do we still sound awful on the YouTube?
We're on the phones. We're working it out.
We're on AM radio. If you want to hear us.
And
normally,
if you want to be entertained with funny sounding voices, you can go watch on YouTube. We are still on YouTube.
Our sport. I'm assuming you're talking about the association.
I'm talking about the association.
Yeah.
Yesterday, and you can go find this on our show Twitter account at Dirt and Sprague.
Mm-hmm.
We tweeted out a picture of the new Portland Trailblazer uniforms.
Well, one of them.
One of them.
The City, what are the City Connect?
City Connect.
I thought that's what we called them in baseball. I thought they were the City Connects in baseball.
Yeah,
they stole
Nike.
The NBA.
Okay, they stole the NBA's idea.
Yeah.
And here's what I will say. We can share our thoughts on the same jersey from last year in different coloring with zero creativity if we would like. I also was scrolling through yesterday, and it is honestly hard to wrap your mind around how bad these jerseys are.
If indeed that tweet was correct.
If it's correct, and that's been, which I'm going to go out on a limb and say it is because the NBA sucked at this for a while.
Yeah, they've struggled with this one.
Dude, there's one with like the Lakers where they just look like Nugget, or there, maybe it was Golden State where it looks like Golden a Nugget State, jersey and it just says Golden State in a circle, and but it's like old Nuggets colors from the 80s. Like,
did you see the Celtic one? It was
so bad.
Dark gray, and then it just in like a weird, almost like a bright green, just says Celtics.
Like, I know this is largely a Nike problem and not an NBA problem, and baseball went through the thing with the Fanatics and the jerseys not in on time and all that. Like, why is it so hard for leagues to get this? Like, give me a throwback. Give me my home. Give me my road. Give me one alternate and a jersey from the 70s. This is so easy.
The problem is the money grab.
Yeah.
Who's buying these?
A lot of people, man.
Why?
The carpet jersey, the plaid one. I bought the plaid t-shirt last year from the jersey because I loved the Rip City plaid. Ultimately, as boring as this sounds, you should have three. You should have your standard road, your standard home, and then if you want a cool throwback that actually is a throwback,
connects to your city,
that you throw in once in a blue moon, cool. And some of this is players. Players love to dress up and have different options. You don't need 4 to 5 jerseys. I hate to sound like the old curmudgeon-y guy.
Yes, old White Sprague, let's go. Get off my lawn.
Let hurt dirt, no White Sprague here.
Let's get back to the days.
Yes.
Simple uniforms.
Just two options.
No, but like sometimes simplistic is the way to go. I think they're overthinking this. They're trying to be too cool because they're trying to get more money from you.
Is there a deal in Nike's contract for it that they get to? I don't know who
they have to suck in designing
these. Who's demanding a fresh third jersey every season?
Every year.
I mean, that has to be somewhat of the agreement, right? Because like, if
but I don't know if it's the league that wants to do it.
You don't
or
think the teams are all in on selling another jersey?
I don't
option?
Know where it comes from. I don't know if it's like Nike wants to do it so they can have fresh stuff to move merchandise. I don't know if the league wants.
Yes to all of it.
Yes to
it
all. It's more money.
To,
it's business.
It needs to not be every
but
year.
Here's what I would ask, though, because your point, like, they definitely want to sell. Like, that's why they're doing it. It's why Major League Baseball does those stupid all-star jerseys that are horrific. They just want to sell them.
They want another jersey.
They want another jersey to sell, right?
Yeah.
What would sell more, though? Like, let's just use our market as an example. So you can go find this jersey. It says Rip City. It's got plaid on it. Wow, they really went on a limb there.
It does have Mount Hood's directions.
Did you know it says the coordinates of Mount Hood, even though we play in Portland, and it's the Portland Trailblazers?
You can see the mountain from Portland, though.
It's crazy, man. It's so creative. In that jersey, or if you brought back the old Bill Walton Blazers down the side that Greg Oden snapped his knee in, bring those back and sell those. What is selling more in the team store?
I still want the late 80s Clyde Blazers.
What's
uniform,
selling more? You're
one?
Telling me that these crap things are going to sell more than those?
Well, but
with
a
Scoot and Shaden version of the 1980s jerseys?
Bring back the red ones that were the from the Clyde Terry era.
We clowned.
The red ones were awesome. They loved those.
We clowned the carpet, but the carpet one is probably one of the more popular ones. I still see a bunch of carpet stuff.
I know you do. I'm laughing at the general idea of people buying that.
Like airport carpet is one of our big things. Yes. We're proud of our airport carpet.
Light blue jerseys.
They wore those. I feel like they wore those uniforms the most that year.
They did. Remember?
They did.
The players liked those ones.
I feel like this is an epidemic in your sport, though, that is now infiltrating my sport. Because a lot of the City Connect jerseys in baseball are terrible. And a lot of teams are going away from them and not going to wear them anymore. But I saw a point yesterday. I was just laughing so hard. The most iconic game the NBA has had, arguably in the last 25 years, 20 years, is marred by sleeve jerseys.
LeBron with his ripped sleeve jersey that he hated, but
game
they wore
seven,
in game
the block,
seven.
Those highlights will always be stained by sleeve.
Bring the jerseys back.
They were wearing T-shirts.
Did we like it, though? I think we liked it.
No, we did not.
At least the Warriors were in regular. Well, wait, no, the Warriors were in the T-shirt, too.
I think they were
both
wearing T-shirts.
It's hilarious.
In the biggest game the NBA
has had.
That's
the greatest game in, like, the last 20-some years.
You're not going to see another game like that forever. LeBron's going to retire. That's the biggest game you got. And it's guys in sleeves.
Which, that would be a fun thing to do. Like, not that they're going to do it because the jerseys are the jerseys, but it would be fun to, like, give the option of what Blazer jersey you would want the most as a fan.
Like, what throwback jersey you would want?
And by the way, I'm talking about the lowercase
Blazer
font on the black uniform.
Totally fine with that.
Yep.
Somebody in a Twitter mention of some argument, there's a highlight gif of Jordan when he hit the threes against the Blazers. The Uncle Cliffy black uniform from the finals with the Capitals.
All fine with that.
I don't feel like they do enough of the black with the red and the white.
No, they don't.
Isn't that a weird thing to say? I didn't think I'd say that with the Blazers ever.
Yeah, I think a lot of sports, the NFL is doing this right now. They are strongly leaning into, what did the Seahawks wear in week one? And what did everybody love?
Oh, yeah.
Their throwback jerseys from the night. Like, every other league, I feel like, is kind of, like, Oregon, this is happening in college football. You're going back to your roots. When Oregon State wore the Benny last year, that was the coolest jersey you had all season.
Yeah.
Lean into the history.
Yeah,
not
when Tampa Bay wears the old creamsicles with the Buccaneer on the helmet.
Yes, the light green Eagles jerseys. Like, these are what people want, and I don't understand why there's not somebody in a headquarters somewhere saying, why don't we just do that and give them the nostalgia that they want instead of a new jersey that doesn't look very... Well, I know they're going to sell. I know that people buy them. Somebody said, you're talking about them right now. That's why. Like,
yeah.
I get it.
This is what the NBA points to is segments or attention and clicks and views. Like at the NBA All-Star game last year, and people made fun of them for it, Silver was hyping up the fact that... you know, you could put on the VR and Spider-Man can be on your game.
Yeah,
it's like, what?
What?
Why do I care about Spider-Man?
I want to watch the NBA with Spider-Man.
And that's, unfortunately, what the league is. Look, we talked about this much earlier with baseball. Viewership down, right? They're not getting quite the number. Football's out here just Dion high-stepping over every sport that exists. These are things they point to now. Now, they just got their media rights deal. They don't need to care about this as much in the next couple years because it's like an 11-year deal. But this is how these leagues, like, brag. Look at our impressions. Look at our clicks.
Clicks and mentions.
The views and the mentions. And the never mind if they're positive or negative.
No.
It's usually just like, look at our digital impressions.
Yeah. So that happened yesterday. You can go check those. We tweeted them out. It's created a bit of a stir on old social media. But
I think it highlights the season in general, to be honest. Like, I didn't particularly like that jersey. I thought it was kind of a boring version. You just took last year's, you made it less exciting.
You just changed the color slightly and that was it. Right?
Yeah. And so, like, I view it as pretty par for the course for what the season, it may sum up the season in general.
Somebody tweeted us a uniform saying, why aren't these our alternates? And it's like a tank blowing through the front of the jersey. Why aren't these our City Connects this year? We should do this, man. So there you go. New jerseys in the NBA. I don't get why they're so bad. Play the nostalgia factor. And this is something that's plagued my football program for years, man. And now they're finally figuring it out. Like, how good did those jerseys look? I know the rivalry aside. How awesome are those jerseys on Saturday for Oregon? They were sick. You got the old green. They're leaning into that. And it's not like silver and let's not wear school colors or dress up like a duck or cow. Like, sometimes you jump the ship and you just got to find your way back home, and the NBA desperately needs to do that. So there's my two cents on it, but I'm sure many of you will go buy it and be excited for the start of the NBA season. Would you want your college football team to do this? We talked about it briefly yesterday. I want to get into it a little bit more. Would you be okay with it? We'll get to that next. All right, welcome back in. Alvin, Simon, Theodore with you here.
And
We've talked about this in a roundabout way, and I think we all agree. The idea of universities desperately asking you for contributions for their name, image, and likeness money to acquire talent, it's not a great thing, and it turns a lot of fans off. Now, some are willing to pay for it. We had Marty Smith on. Was that last week we had Marty Smith on? And they have that new idea where you go through and it rounds everything up.
Rounds your change up.
You're given pennies, you're given quarters, you're given dimes, and it eventually rounds up and it turns into something meaningful for the school if enough schools do it.
Wish we could do that to feed people or create mental health hospitals. But sure, let's donate to college football, baby. We got to get night wins.
Priorities, dude. Priorities. Come on. Priorities. Well, this is a new one. So we all know that at some point in the future, we are going to get where these guys are professional athletes and they're paid a salary.
Dion says we're there.
I mean, we are, but it's still weird. They tried to have this whole house settlement, but now it's getting overruled because, shockingly, they didn't incorporate the players in that settlement and just said, we'll pay you this. Will that be okay? And now it's getting held up. Eventually, we will get there, and we're going to have that salary cap that was discussed where you're going to have $20 to $30 million, whatever it is, a year, and you're going to pay your players. That's the way it's going to work. Because of that, Tennessee is trying to get ahead of the curve on it. And starting next season, we talked about this briefly yesterday, they're adding a 10% talent fee. That's what they're calling it. A 10% talent fee on all football tickets, which is going to help fund the proposed revenue sharing with the players.
Mm-hmm.
They're estimating their price increase will average about 4.5% for the entire stadium. And their estimates show that they're going to bring in roughly on the for next season, they're going to bring in about $10 million through this increased 10% talent fee that they can then use to revenue share with the players. Is this a more acceptable way to get fans to pay players, or is this another example of why the hell is this bill falling on me, the American fan?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. To all that. Yes, yes.
Yes,
look,
yes,
they're having a great start to their year. If they beat Oklahoma, they're going to be, and if they look impressive doing it, it may be a dogfight, but if they go in there and they house Oklahoma, they're going to walk out and people are going to start talking about Tennessee. Is, can Tennessee win the SEC? Can Tennessee take down Georgia and Bama?
Their next
Ole Miss.
After that, they play Arkansas and Florida. They'll be undefeated going into their game against Alabama.
Florida, Arkansas's, you know, been a little feisty, but they should win both those games. Like, they're just going to continue to build that hype. They were probably going to raise ticket prices anyway. That's the unfortunate thing of this, is when your team becomes good, the prices go up. Look at Colorado. Colorado has increased everything since Dion got there, and they've only won, like, what, six games total? Their tuition prices have raised. Their ticket prices have raised. I met a gal at the beach after Hood to Coast. I was wearing a Prime sweatshirt, and I wear it mainly at Irony. And I was surprised how many people from Colorado were like, good buffs. And this lady comes up and tells me her daughter goes to Colorado. And I said, oh, yeah, it's a lot of fun with him there. And I said, have you gone to a football game? She goes, we can't. The tickets are impossible to get.
Can't find one.
And so I think it just highlights, like, this is going to happen anyway. They're just coming out and admitting what they're going to do. I've never and I will never like the fact that this is falling on the everyday Joe. Like, hey, we need a good roster. Well, you guys didn't pay. It's like, you make almost $100 million with your TV deal. The jerseys, the merch, like, how much more do you make just on that stuff? And now you got to hit it with the tickets. It's an unfortunate part. But it's just a reality. And the NIL thing is weird in general. Like, you foot the bill to the fans. They got to figure this out, and they need to do it quick, because did you see what's happening in Montana?
No.
There's a politician, an incumbent senator, who is now paying players.
John Tester, yeah.
To basically endorse and start, like, raising awareness to re-elect him.
It's an NIL deal political candidate.
Yeah, and they're saying, no, this is totally legal, and it's going to be like, cool. So imagine that your favorite college football player, and now imagine him campaigning for somebody you absolutely hate politically.
Yes. How's that going to make you feel as a fan? I'm sure we'll handle that well, because we can all be rationally minded when it comes to politics.
Dylan Gabriel here for Donald Trump.
That would be really. It is such a gray area there that there's no rules and they can kind of get away with whatever they want.
It's the
Wild
West
thing
right now, man.
In Montana, it is nuts. I just, like, Jay Billis brought this up. It's such a good point. So we're heading to an era in the sport where there's going to be revenue sharing. They're going to pay these players $20 to $30 million a year, not individually, but like for a team. You're going to have a pool of $20 to $30 million a year that you're going to share with your players. And Jay Billis's first point is so spot on. Has anybody called the coaches and said, why don't you guys chip in and help pay these guys? Are you willing to take away from your $9.4 million a year salary to make $8.7 million a year
now, didn't
to
Jeff
help
Fish
out the university?
Donate $1 million of his
to
contract
their NIL
money
collective.
To their NIL?
He donated $1 million. So he did it on his own.
So that's good.
That was awesome. Yeah. And it should be done because he's trying to tell fans to donate and like put your money where your mouth is, dude. You want better players on your team.
Sure.
You don't need the $1 million. You're not struggling financially, but you're asking Joe Schmo out there who's making $57,000 a year, can you please donate $100 a month? It's ridiculous. The onus falls on the fans who don't have the money to afford this. And it's just, it's laughable to me, man. The SEC has a TV deal that's worth like $80 million a year a school. If Josh Heupel has the season that it looks like he's going to have, what's his contract extension going
to
look like?
He's going to go to 12.
This guy's going
to
make $12 million a year. Yeah. But I need you making $63,000 a year and paying your taxes to pay 10% extra on Saturdays when you buy your tickets because we got to be able to afford this football team down here. Look, this is only the tip of the iceberg, too. Like, they're just the start. Tennessee was the first one to do it and start implementing this for next season. This is going to spread like wildfire.
Well, I would argue, Dirt, it already has. It just hasn't been labeled NIL.
It hasn't been built into something that you buy. NIL, at least as of right now, is an optional thing. Like,
right.
We would love your money if you would like to donate. Yes. No, thank you. I'm not going to. Now it's if I want to go
everybody
to a game,
has to
my
do
ticket
it, yeah.
is more expensive than it would have been because you can't find a way to pay the players.
And Florida's going to implement it, but in the same way, Florida's going to have the money suddenly from somewhere to fire Billy Napier and pay $25 million.
Yes, what's that buyout going
to
be?
But don't worry. Joe Schmo making $42,000 a year. You want to go to the game and sit at the very top row of Gainesville Stadium? Oh, I'm going to need that 15% kicker.
This broke yesterday, and one of the first responses on social media was saying, at Florida State, they're actually going to give you money back for a lack of talent fee kicker, where you buy your ticket. If you come to the game, you get 25% of your ticket price back because the team is so bad.
Look, I work in AM radio. I don't think it needs to be a secret that I'm not balling here. This is part of the reason I don't go to games very much.
Yeah.
Now, you know, some big games I get up for, or I don't know, just the feel of like wanting to see live sports is always going to be there for me. This is largely why I stay home. I'm already paying a lot for all my cable viewing things, and I get every angle. I don't have to be, you know, stuck behind the drunk idiot who's just looking to fight somebody now because he's drunk and he's in his sports fields. I don't have to worry about traffic. I mean, my God, I heard traffic out of Corvallis.
Oh, I bet it was a nightmare.
Well, because you've been to Corvallis, but like there's really two exits that mainly everybody takes.
That's to stop at A&W. That's all you got, man. And,
well, the worst is that bridge exit out of downtown Corvallis. Don't ever go that way. And I heard for hours it was blocked. So there's just all these, these are why I don't go. And I also don't want to commute. Two-hour drive. I'm like, I'm good on the four-hour round-trip drive. And it's just another reason for me to go, yeah, I'm good watching that game in my house.
One of the fears that I had out of this, too, yesterday was that not the entire reason, it's a way oversimplification, but I do think part of the reason what happened to the Pac-12 happened to the Pac-12 was because we just don't care as much in this part of the country.
Well, that's no secret.
Right, there are passionate fans. We all have them. Every school has them. Some fans attend more than others, but there's a lot of pockets where people just don't really care, and we have everything to do with our lives. And I'm not saying that's good or bad. I would argue probably a healthy thing. But I had this thought, too, of like, man, if you're going to get this at school, like Tennessee fans aren't going to scoff at this. Hell yeah, dude, take my money. Is this going to mean a national championship? I'm down to pay it. And how much pushback?
Yeah, but if you don't win.
That's the tough part.
That's when the kicker hurts.
How much of a pushback are you going to get in other markets of, wait a minute, what? Now you want more money from me?
But what conference are you talking about? Because you're not talking about Big 12
No,
teams.
I'm mostly talking about the West Coast of like Stanford and Cal will never do this.
Duck fans will gladly do this.
Yeah.
USC fans will do this.
Will they?
UCLA fans won't because they don't go to games.
They don't have fans.
Washington fan will probably do this. And honestly,
I mean, Washington is begging people to donate to their NIL and they're not donating to their NIL. They desperately need money.
If Washington State stays within the playoff conversation and can sneak in, You don't think the Cougs could do a little 5% NIL ticket thing just to make sure they're recruiting
better than Boise
State?
You think Beaver fans are down with this? Like, I saw people on social media and the Oregon State fan base immediately after the game were like, you need to donate. You need to donate. Yeah, we need more money.
I know.
If we want to keep up, that's what we need. Here's 15% surcharge on your ticket.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not Reeser.
I don't think there's a large enough critical mass of the Oregon State fan base that will...
I think that's evident, right? Like, we don't have the donors of that level, and the ones that you do have, like, one of them just finished the stadium. Somebody else anonymously donated, what was it? Was it 25 or was it $50 million donation? So,
yeah,
there's certainly schools on the West Coast that won't do it, but there's also ones that will. You get Dan Lanning on that mic, you say, how important is our NIL and rebuild? Like, you get Duck fans to do it.
Yeah, I mean, my feedback from that would be, as a Duck, I would say, why do you need my money?
I mean, that's always been my
position. You got a couple of really rich people who were funding this entire thing, and they have more wealth than I will ever dream of accumulating. Yeah. You don't need 4% of my salary every year.
You got to have that Go Duck.
To fund your backup left guard,
you got to have that license plate cover, though. Duck Athletic Fund.
Right.
Your Beavs are stepping in where Lane Kiffin used to be.
What?
The Beavs just announced a home-and-home with Wake Forest.
Oh, they're going to Wake Forest.
Well, we knew there was going to be some ACC schools for next year.
Yeah, 2025 and 2029.
So are they going to Wake, or does Wake come here next year?
Wake better come here, because they canceled a road game. Those bastards
A home-and-home. They're not going to cancel Oregon State.
I know. No, I'm saying they just canceled the Ole Miss game. So they have an open spot
in 2025, Winston-Salem in 2029.
I have no interest in that road game, and to be honest with you, doesn't really get me excited for the home, but it's an ACC opponent. Opponent would be great.
Winnable ACC game.
Yeah, the Demon Deacons.
Thought here at the Vancouver Ford text line, you know what the easiest way to free up money for football players? Eliminate revenue sharing across other sports. It's an uncomfortable conversation, but it's the way. Football funds almost every other sport. If volleyball or swimming wants to survive, it needs to generate a profit like every other business.
Yeah, that's just
not
realistic.
If we decide to get rid of the whole student-athlete concept and treat these people like employees, and let's make it a true free market concept. I'm with you, but that is my long-term fear of where all this is going, that eventually you tap out of how many different resources you can go find, and you say, why are we funding Olympic sports that nobody watches or cares about?
The other big question, based on whatever this NCAA settlement comes out of, is how will Title IX be applied?
Exactly.
So schools that receive public grants have to abide by Title IX and how well the law and courts and states interpret what that means.
It's all very healthy, right? All very healthy. The sport's doing great.
I mean, this is what's the funniest about it, is we're watching in real time a sport we all love. Nobody knows what they're doing on this. Nobody knows what they're doing with conference realignment. It's just literally a day-to-day thing.
And I was told that conference realignment was going to give me more meaningful games, and I feel like we haven't had a meaningful game yet. Texas and Michigan
Oregon
was good in name. Oregon's schedule's terrible.
For almost anything.
No, you got Ohio State. That's cool. But Michigan's down. It. Wisconsin doesn't scare anybody right now.
Dude, Wisconsin, have you seen? I saw this yesterday from Peterson. Luke Fickell right now, at this point of games played, has the same record as Bill Callahan did at Nebraska.
That's a good sign.
That air raid in Wisconsin, not air raiding
very
hard.
They're not air raiding very well right now.
It was always a weird fit and a weird move to me that he jumped from Cincy as a playoff team to Wisconsin, and it's proving to be that so far.
Yeah, would you pay this for Duck and Beaver fans to go? We got some that are chiming in. We'll read some of those thoughts. We will wrap it up and send you on your way on a Wednesday next on The Fam. All right. Thanks for being with us on a Wednesday. If you stuck through the last hour on YouTube, God bless you. We're not eating nuts, but we do sound like chipmunks. Big news day today.
Huge news day, man.
Right out of the gate this morning, like first segment of the day.
I did not have that on the show sheet. I knew it was going to be, I thought we'd get to it.
At some point,
I didn't know 6 a.m. announcement from a league was going to happen. This is great news.
It's kind of weird the way they've handled it of like, Hyken reported it a few weeks ago. We all knew it was happening. And then the family has to send out a thing saying there's an announcement at 2:30 tomorrow. Very special. It's like, can we just say that we're getting an, the way they, I mean, I get that you have to be.
Let's go back further than that. You're downplaying it. The announcement that we were getting it from Orem, and then right at the goal line, pulled it away from us and said, no, you're not getting it.
Nope, not happening.
Then Orem's like, am I eating a shirt? And then months go by, and Hyken's back, we're getting it again.
Oh, by the way,
And then it gets to the goal line, and they just steamroll their way into the end zone. So touchdown.
We're getting a WNBA team, man. And we threw out on Twitter, what should the name be? And some of those comments we can't read on the air. It seems like the the number one answer so far.
Nemec threw out Pioneers.
Yeah, he wants to go the Pios. Oregon City had a real long run there with ladies hoops. It works with kind of the trailblazer kind of vibe that you're going for with the Pacific Northwest and the Lewis and Clark stuff.
I'm all for it. I'm down with I wanted the Pioneers to be the baseball team.
The Rose City Pios?
The Rose City Pios.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that. Red and black coloring.
Scott Ruick, their new head coach.
Yeah, you think that would make sense? I mean, if I were him, I'd definitely have my eyes on a job like that. That'd be sweet.
I don't know how they gauge stuff in the WNBA with coaches and decision makers and all that stuff. Maybe they have somebody already in mind, but I'll tell you right now, if I was Scott Ruick's friend, and I'm not, I would say this pains me to say this because I love my Beavs. Your Lady Beav program has gotten my daughters into basketball and my family. I have no idea what's happening with your program. You've lost all your talent. WNBA, you know how to coach. Go coach Sabrina finally.
Guess what? Half your team can't transfer at the end of the year. They're under contract. They can't go anywhere. Yeah. How do we feel about the Portland Penguin Bones?
Jody's not the owner.
Jody's not the owner.
Damn it. All right, just check.
Yeah, this ownership group seems to have a good reputation.
They win. They win a lot.
Yeah.
Aren't the Thorns the best team in the NWSL?
Well, they got it off of Merritt Paulson's hands.
Oh, okay.
Not this season. They've had a little slide.
A little bit of a slide this year.
Post-Olympic break.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, it's cool news, man. I hate being a minor league market. We deserve more. It's a good, passionate sports city, and so hopefully this is the start of more to come, but it'll give us something to do in the summer.
I had it on the show sheet. I just want to say real quick before we go, I don't know if it's been said on the station yet. I want to wish a hearty congratulations to Mike Lynch, who got married.
Nice, man. I didn't see that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Very cool.
And go support him with his ALS Fund t-shirt at 1080thefan.com.
Absolutely. Brian Nemhauser is going to join the show tomorrow. We'll talk Seahawks with him. 8 o'clock, right? 8 o'clock, thumbs up? Yep, 8 o'clock tomorrow. Brian Nemhauser. Josh Pate was on today. Go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com, at Thurton Sprague and at 1080thefan. Thanks for being a part of our Wednesday. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Call us next. Listen to 1080 The Fan. I said